more scripture than I usually read at a morning service. And I know that sometimes reading can be tedious, and if you have to sit for a long reading or a long talk, you lose interest. There's something about listening to the Word of God read that appeals to me. Fact is, I had my grandson come in out of the yard a few months ago and sit down with me in the porch, and I said, "Benji, just read. Just take this Bible and read to me." And he said, "Well, you can't read." "Yes, I can read very well. Thank you. Can't see very well to read it, but I can read it if I can see it." But it comforts my heart just to listen to the Word of God. Now, this is the book of Ephesians. This is a New Testament book. You wouldn't think that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, by the way, you wouldn't think that there's some of the things he would have to be said to the church that he's having to say to them. And what I want to talk to you about is that God has feelings. Did you ever hear anybody say, "Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words may never find me"? That's a lie. That's a lie. I'll tell you something. There's been a few times in my life a stick would have felt good beside of the word that was said to me. You know and I know. How many of you have been hurt by something somebody said? Yeah, everybody in the world. I hope to never hurt anybody, but we wind up doing it not meaning to. But you have to think about this as we look at this scripture. The Apostle Paul is telling the people how to behave. You know, when you go to church and go home, you ought to feel better when you get home. When you go to church and go home, you ought to feel closer to God and lifted up. The truth is, I think there must have been a few times, a lot of times, through history, that Christian people have gathered together to worship, and when they went home, God must have sat down and cried. It's important that we think about things like that. You remember in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the apostle is talking to them about how to behave in church. Now, if you think this small group of people is insignificant to God, you think again. You see, there's a lot of empty seats here. They may all be filled with angels, for all I know. But the apostle Paul told the Christians in Corinth to be careful about the order that was in their service and not to be having something going on that was going to disturb things because of what? Because of the angels. So the angels of God, I wonder if they monitor our services. I wonder if they monitor what we say and why we say it. Well, sometimes we hurt God. Sometimes we make God very sad when we behave the way we misbehave. And so as Paul writes to the Ephesian church, we'll just work our way right through it and talk about it as we go. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." So you know right away that Paul is what? In jail. And he's writing to the Ephesians to talk to them about their church. And he's talking to them about how to behave with each other in the church and in their Christian life. "With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Wow. We ought to be the huggingest, shake-handingest, kissingest people on earth. We ought to be the most tender and kind people on the earth. And we should not have to be told this. It should be the Holy Ghost in our heart, and that Spirit makes us love and be kind. What does he say? Lowliness and meekness and long suffering. Wow. Now, I tell you, there's a quirk in people, Christian and non-Christian. You say, what's that quirk? It's this. It's that I expect you to put up with myself. But you don't expect that. I expect you to put up with my idiosyncrasies, and we all have some. We had one sister in a church down at Williamson talking about her sister, Goldie, who was a preacher and very peculiar in her life. And she said, well, my sister has her peculiarities. Well, some of us are going to have to carry each other part of the time. And you say, well, I don't want to carry him. I got enough of my own. Well, forbearing one another in love. And we do it because we're Christians and because we love each other. Let's read on. Endeavoring, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, endeavoring, that's work. It's not just going to happen. It's not just going to happen that everybody is going to get along in perfect harmony all the time. But if we obey and do what God wants us to do, my friend, you don't have to retort to everything somebody says to you. You're going to get your feelings hurt as life goes by. It's just the way it is. It happens in families, don't it? Happens between in-laws, and happens between all kinds of people, between workers. And my friend, as a Christian, you need to be the long-suffering, forbearing person, and you're going to have to work at it. So often, I find out that there's not peace between people because people don't work at it being peace between people. I had a lady one time that was really mad at us and was suing us for a whole bunch of money that I didn't have and wasn't even about to get because it was $1 million. I've never seen $1 million, but anyway, that's the way it was. And we went everywhere. I had to testify to lawyers and lawyers and lawyers. And each time, they said, well, there's no case here. There's nothing here. And I would go on. Finally, got all the way to Washington, to the American Civil Liberties Union, and went through all of that. And at the end, he said, Mr. Kendall, you don't have nothing to do with this. There's nothing. I said, I know it. But I wanted peace between us. I wanted there to be peace. So I prayed really hard. And this is when the victory came, is when I prayed for her. When I started praying for God to bless her, then it changed. And God moved, because I wasn't fighting the battle anymore. He was. And I prayed for God to let there be a time of reconciliation, that I could be her friend, because I wanted to be her friend. And she just was misinformed about something. And it was real funny. If you was going out to pick out somebody to be a Santa Claus, who would you go looking for? If I was a betting person, and I'm not, but if I was a betting person, I'd bet I'd be the bottom of the list. I would not think that anybody would possibly pick me to be Santa Claus. Not that I could not fill out the suit. But one day, this person's boss came to me and asked me if I would be Santa Claus. I never thought about her working there. The man was such a good man and a good friend. I said, well, I'll try, but I'm not much of that kind of person to do all that kind of thing, but I'll do what I can do. And when I went there, her boss said to me, we have somebody here that's going to take you around and guide you where to go. Guess who it was? Guess who had to talk to me and go with me and do all that? And you know what that did? That broke that. But I had to endeavor to do that. I had to work at it. But thanks be unto God, that was completely erased. Our relationship was restored. Our friendship was good. She's gone on to be with the Lord now, and I trust she did well on the other side. My brothers and sisters, as Christians together in a church or any other place, we have to be the big person. We're the Christian. We're proclaiming Christ in our life. We have to be the ones who stand up and take the heat and make the peace. Amen? Let's continue to read this. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And I have to tell you this, you may not like it, but every other Christian in the world belongs to the same body you do. Now you may have a sign over your door that says Baptist, and you may have a sign over your door that says Methodist, and a sign over that door that says Pentecostal, and a sign over that, what is it I saw up in Akron, Ohio, we saw the church of what's happening now. I don't want to say anything bad about it. Just seems like a strange name for a church. The preacher was a little quirky too, to tell you the truth. But it was a church of, the fact is I went after him once in a service. And I got about as far as from here to Brother Tate, and I decided I was going to jail if I grabbed him. And I have to tell you what I was after him about, because he refused to pray for a little girl that was lame in her leg. And her daddy brought her forward for prayer, and he refused to pray because it was on television cameras. That being the case, if God healed her, well, but I have to tell you, I could not turn a child down for prayer. I could not. You say, well, she might not be healed. That's not going to hurt anything for me to pray for, but she just might be healed. God is able to heal that leg that was shorter than the other. I could see what was wrong with the little girl. But I went after him, that, and I decided I didn't want to get in jail. It wasn't going to really accomplish anything. But what I'm telling you is, you say, well, I don't believe in all them people carrying on like that. I don't either, but if they're Christians, they're in the same body that I'm in. There's only one body, and there's only one Spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit, to baptize you into that body. And that's the way it goes. Praise God. And one hope of your calling. And my friend, we're traveling this road together, so we need to have it, traveling it as a peace road. Let's continue to read. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Continue. But unto everyone that is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at that right there. Isn't that wonderful? All those gifts are by one Spirit, and they're operating in one body. Somebody says, well, I don't believe all that's for today. Their whole denomination says that's a major part of their doctrine, that God don't do that today, that God don't have a healing ministry, God don't have prophecy, God don't have tongues, God don't have all that. And they will say that we don't need that because our Bible is perfect And the Bible said, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So they believe that God doesn't do that or need to do that anymore. But I just read to you that that the gifts of the Spirit in the church are for what? The perfecting of the saints. Now, if you've got a church that's completely full of perfect people, well, excuse me, because I'm going to have to leave. I mean, if you've got a church full of perfect people, then you don't have to worry about the gifts of the Spirit because you're already translated or dead and gone on and are on the other side. When you get to heaven, you won't have to prophesy what is to come. You're there. When you get to heaven and are with the Lord, you're not going to have to speak with tongues and have gifts of the Spirit. You're going to see Him face to face and look at Him face to face and rejoice with Him through eternity. All of these gifts and things are for us to be perfected, to be worked on. And Labriska Hemphill wrote a song years ago, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." How many of you feel like the Lord's still working on you? That's good, you're His child. He wouldn't be working with somebody else's child. He's working with you because you're His child. And He's taking care of you, and He's bringing you to the place that you can be over there. And that's all of us. Let's continue to read the Word of God. Till we come, this is how long we need the gifts of the Spirit, till we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. My brothers and sisters, when you look at that, you have to realize the wonderful thing that God's doing in using human beings to accomplish His will. Do you realize, people say, well, I don't want to go down there, there's those hypocrites in that church. No, but you die and go to hell with the hypocrites. Good grief. I believe I'd rather go to church with them. Amen. Everywhere you go, any place you go, you're going to meet somebody that's going to claim more than he's got. That's okay. That'll show up, won't it? It'll come out. Think about it. Let's continue to read the scripture. From whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. And you know who's going to do all that? He that has ascended up to heaven. Who is he that ascended up to heaven? Remember what he said? He that descended from heaven. Jesus was in heaven before he was in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was in heaven before he walked the shores of Galilee, and he descended from heaven. I don't know how that happened. That had to have shook the whole universe when the Almighty God moved off the throne of glory, crossed the Milky Way, came down through the space of time, and put his foot down on this earth into the womb of the Virgin. My friend, think about it. The Almighty coming to this earth to live. Wow. That must have shook everything in heaven when he came down through it. Wonder what happened when he ascended off of the Mount of Olives and went back through it and to heaven. Oh, what a shaking that must be. You say, you reckon that'll ever happen again? Oh, I know it's going to happen. He said, I'll not shake the earth only, but I'll shake heaven also. And God is coming back, the Lord Jesus, that is, through the ages of time. I'm amazed at this new telescope they got put up there the other day. 5 football fields long it is. And I don't know exactly how wide, but it's a huge thing. And it's going to start working, and it is working, and it's looking out in space, do you realize that light travels 186,000 miles a second? And do you realize that what they're going to be looking at is as old as the earth? They're going to be able to see maybe even back to creation time. We don't know what they're going to see. But my friend, I can tell you one thing they're going to see. One day they're going to see the brightness of the Son of God and the light shining through the darkness of space, and he's coming back, my friend, and he's coming back to this earth ultimately and set his foot on the Mount of Olives and set up his kingdom, of which there'll be no end. Hallelujah. And guess what? We won't be worrying about the 125,000 Russian troops in the Ukraine or any other troops anywhere else, because the host of heaven will be in that city and the Lamb will be the light thereof. Praise God. Isn't these scriptures rich? Look at that. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being in the past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, that you may have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. There's the scripture I've been aiming for the whole time, was number 30. And you say, what's that? Grieve not. God has feelings. You know what it is to grieve. You grieve over your dog that got hit by the truck. You grieve over your paycheck that's shrunk. You grieve over your wife that left you. You grieve over your kid that won't mind you. There's lots of things that we grieve over. And yet, when we think about God, we forget to think about him having emotions. I used to have a teacher, and he would say this where I would hear it all the time to try me. And his saying was this, he said, God didn't create us in his image. And he'd let it pause. And then he would say, we created God in our image. Of course, there's a similarity between us and God. God made us. We came off of the same pattern, every one of us. And all of us came off the pattern of God. And God created us to be like we are. But let me tell you something, folks. God has the capacity of emotions. to grieve. Why would God grieve? Old Brother Cecil used to have a saying. He said, the only thing wrong with holiness is it's starving to death for somebody to live it. He had a point. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell you today that when we come to church and put on the dog and we go out and live like the devil, Mahalia Jackson said in her song, said, go out and raise sand on Saturday and go to church on Sunday. Well, she's gone on to be with the Lord now. But my friends, what I'm telling you is that God's heart can be hurt. God's spirit can be grieved. And God is sad with us when we don't do those things beforehand. Go home and read those verses that I just read to you. When it says how for us to live. God does not want us to live one way and preach another way. He does not want us to not follow in the footsteps of the Son of God who is here on earth. My friend, God in His infinite love and mercy and His marvelous grace came down to earth to save human beings. And in His doing so, He had to confront everything. I'm so sad for those situations. I wonder how much God grieved in one of the churches that we had fellowship with through the years and had to do with the founding of it. One day, Brother Mooney met one of the elders of that church, and he was all beat up, his face, and had scratches and bruises and all kinds of things. And Brother Mooney said, what in the world? He said, well, we just tell you the truth, we had a fight in church last night. Well, isn't that sad? That should never have been said in the world. That should never have even been thought of. My brothers and sisters, God must have grieved. You know what grieves me most about that? If I come in the church and I disagree with you, and then I say something nasty about it or hateful about it or snarky about it, you know what bothers me most about that? It's the sinner man that may be sitting there who is not saved, who needs to hear from heaven. My friend, if I want to hear a rhubarb, they got a few bars around. I can go to any of them, hear a rhubarb if I want to. When I come to church, I want to hear the good news. I want to hear about Jesus Christ coming down from glory and saving my soul. I want to hear Him talking to me through the preacher and through the Word of God. I do not want to hear about the community affairs and the things of this world, because they're not going to do me any good anyway. Amen. So, I mean, the scripture talks that God is a jealous God. You say, well, jealousy is an awful thing. Only when it turns green-eyed and some girl is mad about her boyfriend or something. Why? I would be insulted if I thought Fern wouldn't be a little bit jealous. Wouldn't you? I mean, you wouldn't want... I mean, that's normal. God is not willing to share you with the devil. God is not willing to share you with the world. God loves you, and He wants you to go home with Him and Him to go home with you. And you can read through the scripture. God expresses hate, and God expresses joy. God expresses all the gamut of human beings' emotions. How come? He's the guy that made us to start with, isn't He? And I hope this is not too long and too tedious and hadn't bored you to death, but my friend, I pray that you'll understand the Word of God to touch your life, to touch your heart. Amen? Would you stand? Father, I thank You today for the opportunity to be here. Thank You that the roads were clear, that we could come to church and Father, I thank you for those who have had the virus and overcome and can come, and those who are afraid or those who are struggling. Would you touch them in a special way? And Lord, would you bless us today as we share the Word of God and as we are touched by the Word of God. And Lord, create in us a hunger that as we go home today, we'll look at Ephesians 4 and discover how great and good God is to come down from heaven and to live with us, and that we should in turn live for Him. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.